Okay, that's good.
Well, I stay in Billings and Great Falls.
What is it?
Yeah, of course. So did you go to...
All right. It is 6 o'clock, so I'm going to go ahead and call the August 18th Claremont County Public Library Board of Trustee meeting to order. May I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Doss?
Here.
Mr. Ramos?
Here.
Ms. Waite?
Here.
Ms. Cosica?
Here.
Mr. Humphrey?
Here.
Ms. Bach?
Here.
Ms. Schluter?
Here.
Thank you. All right, let's stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right. I'm looking for a motion to approve the July 21st, 2025 minutes as mailed.
So moved.
Mr. Humphrey makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Schluter? I was looking at Ms. Bach, and I'm hearing Ms. Schluter, just making sure. All right, Ms. Schluter seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. I don't believe we have any public participation on the agenda tonight. I'm seeing a head shake for a no. So we are actually going to move into our presentation on the Bethel Roof Report. So, guys, take it away. Don, you've got...
I don't need your microphone, so I'll just talk out loud because you all do a lot of voice. I'd like to introduce Bill Judd and Mitch Holfer from THP Limited. They are the consultants we hired to do the evaluation on the Bethel roofing. Mitch has done a whole bunch of work. We've been out there,
twice.
He's climbing on the roof both times, so he's well aware of what's up there. So we're going to go ahead and start with the presentation. We have some pictures that he can point out some stuff, so we'll go from there. One of you, Mitch.
Mitch, we do record these meetings, so if you can speak into the microphone,
certainly.
We would appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, so Don kind of already introduced us, but I'm a senior principal at THP, and Mitchell is a project manager at THP. Like Don mentioned, we did the roof at the Bethel Library branch. If you have questions as we go through, we don't really have a formal presentation, so we'll use the pictures and snippets out of the report to kind of give you the findings and then what our recommendations were. If you have questions as we go through it, feel free to stop. We're kind of used to start and stop, and so that's not a big deal. Allow us to catch your questions as we go, and if you want to wait till the end, that's fine also.
Hear me okay?
Yep.
Ready to speak up a little bit?
Yes.
Speak up. Okay. My name is Mitchell. Thanks for having us. Like Bill said, we're going to walk through kind of the review and kind of findings of what we were looking at on the roof. So we'll kind of start just with the building itself, the library. We started with just a visual review to kind of get our eyes on the roof itself. We were out there in June, just walking the roof for a couple hours or so, reviewing flashing conditions, penetrations, typical kind of components in a roof system that are usually going to be your suspects for a compromised roof system that are going to lead to water infiltration. Initial kind of visual review didn't reveal much. Actually, most of your perimeter flashings and around the eaves and the gutters and the penetrations all looked like they were in good enough condition where we wouldn't expect leaks to be occurring or resulting from those components themselves. But what we did notice was these two roofs, as you can kind of see from the shading change from the shadow, they're at an opposing kind of slope direction that creates this parapet wall condition. And I'll scroll down on the report to kind of give you a little visual cue for what that looks like. So we've got these two sections of roof that are sloped at opposing directions and set at a different elevation. And this creates this parapet wall condition that's right at the high point of both of these roofs. It's clad with a metal cladding system, and it's just cold form metal framing backing up the cladding itself. And then we've got some ridge flashing as well as some base flashing conditions that all tie into the metal roof itself. And what we noticed was that when reviewing the leak patterns underneath in the ceiling grid, all the leaks and the water staining in the roof tiles, in the acoustical ceiling tiles themselves, were showing up in a linear pattern, and were actually starting near the top of the roofs themselves. So our assumption is what we think is the primary suspect and what's causing the leaks at the Bethel branch is this parapet wall. It is west-facing, so I believe it's this side. So it gets the brunt of the weather throughout the year. And actually, when we were water testing on our second trip out, we were graced with a nice, pretty wind-driven rain event that we were able to just visually review from the underside water infiltration as it was coming in during the rain event itself. So just as a kind of from that initial review, this really was the area of concern that we flagged that we wanted to come out and test and kind of confirm some assumptions that we've had about the roof itself. So what we did when we came out the second trip, we wanted to test this area, so we brought our hoses with us. It took a while to set up with the rainstorm that came in, but we had some successful leak tests on our end. Successful leak tests are when we actually are able to reproduce the leaking. So we were able to reproduce the leaking. We were testing this base flashing condition, the metal cladding itself, and also the ridge line on the opposite slope roof. And in all three test situations we did, we were able to reproduce the leak. We saw water infiltration coming in from the leak from the roof itself. I'll go to some photos of kind of what we were seeing percolating through the roof decking. This is a really good example of kind of what conditions we were noting. So this is at the bottom of your roof truss or your roof joists that are running the direction of the slope of the roof. You can see one member here, and water is actually migrating in through seams in the decking or insulation fasteners that are penetrating the decking, and it will migrate onto the top of the roof truss and then eventually make its way down along the cords onto the bottom of the roof truss, that flange right there. That's what you're seeing with that ponded water and that dripping right there, and then eventually land on the acoustical ceiling tile. And on many occasions when we were up there, or on a few occasions when we were up there reviewing, we could actually hear the dripping and see the water dripping down from those leaks. For the metal roof, what we're recommending to start, we're thinking since that metal clad area, that parapet wall, is your primary source of leaks, we're thinking that right now repairing that cladding and kind of disassembling that system and solving the flashing issues that are in that system are what really needs to get done to stop the leaks. We've provided a couple other options, typical repairs that are associated with metal roofs that are more kind of wholesale repairs that are going to be applied throughout the roof system itself. So we included those at the end of the report for pricing purposes, budget purposes, if that is an option you want to review. And lastly, not related to the metal roof, but roofing associated, while we were there on the second trip with the heavy rain event and wind-driven rain event, there was a leak noted above the east entrance, right here on this corner, actually. So we reviewed that area as well. It's over or adjacent to a low-slope roof that's comprised of an EPDM roof. It's a black membrane, single-ply membrane. It's much lower slope than what we're seeing with the metal roof. But we were able to pop our heads up through the ceiling tile, reviewed that condition as well, and there was a lot of water and moisture coming in through this lintel or ledge angle or shelf angle that's supporting the metal deck. And it's adjacent to the east entrance. If you see that CMU wall, that block wall, that's the wall of the east entrance that all that water was pouring in at. And what we noted on the top side was that the drainage system for that masonry wall above the leak is really not flat. It's not flashed appropriately. So there's through wall flashing that needs to be installed within the masonry system to allow water that enters the masonry wall to exit. And the weeps that are in the masonry wall are supposed to have flashings or drip edges that are comprised of metal material that actually get the water away from the wall. But the condition above that leak didn't have the appropriate doesn't have the appropriate flashings. And in an especially hard wind-driven rain event, a lot of that water is just going to be soaked into the masonry wall and migrate down behind the flashing itself, the roof flashings. So that's what we also included and recommend gets completed with the initial repair of the metal cladding and the flashing at the metal roof. I think that kind of covers the recommendations. Like I said, we have a couple other options that are included in that breakdown for estimating purposes, budgeting purposes, if you will.
So I think what I'd add is that, you know, options 2, 3, and 4, like Mitch is saying, are basically re-roof or complete replacement of the roof options for you guys to consider. But as THP, based on our findings, we would say that would be something for you to do down the road, and that option 1 we feel should stop your leaks that have probably been ongoing since, you know, reportedly it's almost been since day 1 of the branch, but if not shortly thereafter. Some flashing detail either failed in the wall or was never part of the design, that in that little vertical wall is the source of all of your problems. And that, as Mitch has alluded to, with the fact that the structure slopes below it, you know, that can be the source, and then it can travel multiple different directions on the metal deck system. Because not only do you have the metal deck that you see as the roof, but there's a metal deck below that with insulation, and then the top layer of metal deck. And that water is getting into that lower level of the metal deck, and it can go all different directions and then travel out and come down on the joists. So we think that is really the source of your problem, and that where you're seeing leaks out in the field of the roof, yes, it's leaking from underneath, but it's not really a leak from the top side of the roof itself that would say you need to replace the roof system at this time. So, questions?
You mentioned in your report that it's a slope of 212.
Yep.
And that's less than what we would normally expect. Is that having anything to do with the leak that we're seeing, or that's just a finding that it's not? And how did we get that way?
It's,
wouldn't an architect know that 212 is not right?
Well, it's 20 years old, so the standards might have changed since the construction. It's not the source of the leak. It's just if you were to replace or recover the roof, it kind of rules out any sort of metal deck retro or metal roof retrofit without modifying the slope is what we were trying to kind of get at with the existing slope at 2-12. And there's also just degrees of low slope. You know, like the EPDM roofs are 1/4 inch per foot, very almost considered flat roofs. Whereas your 2-12 obviously has a slope to it, has a nice pitch to it. It's just not in that threshold of a water shedding system where they're typically seeing your metal roofs applied. That makes sense.
So because of the 2-12, is the wind blowing the water the opposite direction up the roof?
I don't think so. Your flashings at your eave conditions appear appropriate, and specifically at that gutter condition, it seems like that was installed as, you know, as intended or as what the manufacturer would recommend for the roofing system, based on what we can see from the outside.
Yeah, I would say that the 2-12 functions okay, but if you were to say replace the roof with a new metal roof, exactly like you have now, it would have to be retrofit to be a steeper roof to comply with current code. But it's functioning the way it would. Even the steeper roof and the roof you have now will function the same way. It's just we probably couldn't put it back at 2-12.
Thank you.
Can you talk a little bit, excuse me, about the contingency that you guys have outlined in the different options? How long, can you just explain what goes into that contingency estimate there? How long that contingency lasts? Is that like over the course of a year, 5 years? Like what is that?
So the contingency is really set up for the project. So it's really, if we were to design the fix for that parapet wall, the contingency money is really something that you hold in your back pocket, that if we find a condition after we design it, we would call it a field condition, like an unknown that had to be modified as via change order, that money would be there on your behalf to cover something like that.
So strictly for the work, nothing, not like a warranty or anything like that? Okay, after the fact.
Just for the project, or if there's something that when you tear it all off, even though there would probably be an investigation to open up part of that to really understand how it's detailed to do the drawings. If then 30 feet away we ran into a condition that wasn't the same and we had to modify something, so the contractor would be due a change in fee cost because of that change. That's what that's set up from a budgeting standpoint.
Got it. Just for the unknowns. Okay, gotcha. That's the padding for what if.
Yes.
Some of the language in the report was a little confusing when it talked about like checks and stuff. I wanted to make sure that was my understanding of contingency, which is how you just described it. So thank you for that. Is your firm the firm that would do this work, or do you recommend contractors to do this work for like option one for the actual repairs,
so
which I think we all agree are pretty.
We're a design firm.
Right.
So I would assume you probably have to put out like an RFP, RFQ.
So we have to do a bid.
We would respond to that as the designer to do the drawings, answer questions during bidding, and then on your behalf, quality assurance visits to the site during construction to make sure that the job was done correctly by the contractor in accordance with the drawings.
So site construction?
Site observation work is part of our role if we do the drawings. We do not do site observation work unless we've done the design as a firm, kind of the way we operate.
So it's essentially two bids then. It would be for the bid for the overview, the design and the quality assurance of the second entity, which would be doing the actual construction work or repair. So we'd have two separate
schematic designs.
Yeah.
We do the design, or you should have a consultant do the design on your behalf, and then a separate person doing the actual construction.
And do you recommend any specific contractors? So you do have the recommendations that we could.
I don't know whether you're a public bid, but we can give you names to solicit to as a minimum, whichever way you go. Yes.
Are we able to bid process? I'm not completely up to speed on bid process. Because this is leaking, this has been leaking, would this constitute as an emergency repair that could
bypass
the traditional RFP? Like, I don't know.
Questionable. I don't think so.
Okay. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Given the length of time it's been occurring.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Good.
And if we have worked on this.
It was an ask.
In year five, after the building was constructed, we would probably have something to go back on the architect or the builder for. But since it's year 20, we probably do not have those remedies.
I would say that time is come and gone to really go back and ask somebody for either a construction error or a design error pretty far down the road. You're correct. In year five, you probably could have had both of them still as an active participant that they would have to fix something. Unless something in there when we open it up actually has failed thoroughly, something may have moved too much and failed a flashing or something like that, we may find that then they both had the right intent, but a material wasn't properly installed or failed just from too much movement. I don't know what we're going to find until we kind of do a sample in there, or whoever you select as a sample. But you would have had much better recourse if you'd gone after that solution quite a while ago. Yes.
Water over the bridge, yep.
Or just picked a better roof, because that design is Frankenstein together. It's kind of a mess. Sorry, Ed.
The estimate that you gave includes what you think the construction would be, or is simply your estimate for design?
No, the $120,000 subtotal there for option one would be all of the construction.
If your guess as to what our bid might come in at.
Yeah,
that's correct.
And include your design. Okay, thank you.
Does not include the design, or does it?
There's an allowance for design fees within that number.
So it is inclusive.
So it should include everything.
Yeah, so hopefully that's all in everybody.
I have another question, but Judy, I know you've been waiting.
Estimated time for fruition?
Time to complete the repairs? I had figured with a good crew, if you're talking about like design all the way, or do you just ask for a construction start date?
Give us both.
Date?
Give us both.
Design all the way.
Give us the whole thing.
Right.
Did they say yes?
I think design, if you're just looking at option one, design could be pretty brief, you know, a month, maybe a month and a half, with some investigation.
So if it were today, it would be either the end of September or the first part of October, and then construction there and after?
Yeah, and construction, if they start, you know, right after design, which there, you know, could be a bidding period, which may take 2 weeks, but construction just from getting started, I think, would even be like maybe.
I think construction bidding is.
I would think construction, we'd probably set it up at least as a 2 to 3 month minimum. You may have a delay waiting for materials. So you're going to have to select the contractor. He's going to have to order the materials to replace this. And he's not going to want to open that wall up until he has all the parts and pieces to put it back together. So he may only be on site a month, but there may be a month ahead of that where he's getting all the parts and pieces put together and purchasing all that.
We're trying to estimate from a budgeting perspective with a calendar year, because we're in August.
Yeah.
And
I'm looking at the construction timeline and where, seasonal-wise, where are we going?
Yeah, you're at the end of the season. You can think about pulling this off. I mean, you know, there's going to be a period here where you have to select the consultant, then the consultant has to design it, then you have to bid it, and by then I think you're in the weather that I'm not sure you want to open a roof up until spring.
Right.
Right.
So we're talking at the very earliest, maybe finding fruition sometime early or late spring?
I would think so. That would be the start of your construction, would be spring, with what I think is going to slow up the steps, unless there is the ability to do it as an emergency where you're not putting out an RFQ or RFP for the consultant and everybody that you can, because that's, you know, to put out an RFP and everybody responds, I would think you're going to have 2 to 3 weeks right there before you even pick a design consultant. So there's time is going to add up here very quickly in terms of getting a set of drawings done.
I would say the only way, Ernie, is if we declared an emergency as a result of when it is that we're going to be able to put this under construction and completion before the spring. I mean, it's I get it because we've done it before, not here, but at the county level. But usually when you declare an emergency, it's because, what, the furnace went out or the boiler went out or whatever, and it's like pending to get it immediately replaced. And since we have been dealing with this most of the year, since it's August 18th?
Since it was built, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, the capital request for the project was February that we approved, so we've been working on this. So, question.
But the leak has been happening since very
correct.
Soon
after it was built. So, apparently, the building inspection department at the county approved the plans before we ever went to construction. And then there we went. And either the follow-up or the whatever, because it sounds like this, I wondered whether or not it was the erosion that might have created that, or if it was just elimination or poor construction.
Yeah, we won't know that until we open it up to see whether it's on the design side or construction side.
I saw the pictures and I read the story and I thought,
So at the end of the day, I think we can all agree, poor design, poor implementation. Now here we are. We got
to
fix it, right?
Yes,
so let's look forward. Yeah, so let's look forward for fixing. I do have a question though. When you were showing the picture of the roof tile, like the with the concrete wall. Sorry, I'm not good on architectural terms. And then that kind of flowing into potential. I think you also mentioned like ceiling tile inside the building as well. Maybe it was on the other photos. Are there ceiling tiles in the inside that need to be replaced because of the moisture? I know a lot of this is metal. But like, is that also something that we're going to have to look at from an interior perspective for correction? Because of like maybe mold remediation or whatever, like
the leaks are solved, you do have stained tiles that
okay.
you can probably swap.
If I may, we do
yes,
have
Don.
Tiles in stock at Owensville.
Okay.
We replaced those because we have replaced them in the past.
Okay.
Right when we did the interior renovation at Bethel, we replaced those tiles. And so it's back to that now that we have more of them in stock that we can take care of that on ourselves.
Perfect. Okay, good deal. So we'll take care of that. Trying to think of any other questions that I have. I think... What was that, Laura? Can you speak up?
State term contracting, which might avoid the actual RFQ and the RFP.
Talking about the state
term.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, Chris, I think that's something that you guys need to figure out and look and see what the most expeditious way of getting this
bid it out. I think the concern is the quality.
Well,
so you don't really
know. State term would be more for a thing that you were going to buy, like a truck. Because they're on state term, but I don't think construction of a roof is going to be on state term.
I think you're talking about the resolution that we have passed in the past, and we did this year also, where we have the ability to contract with a state agency that is, and they were mentioned in here initially, that did the review, in 2020 or whatever. That's a group, and we've had them at the county where we've been able to indicate that going with them, they do, I'm going to call it quote-unquote competitive pricing within the area and whatever, that it's within the realm, and we have used them and we've been very successful
yes.
at that level.
Potentially
so
fast-tracking.
That's a possibility.
I have a question for you guys. Don't get offended by this question. Why has it taken so long to get this report? Because I've, you know, like we've been talking about this and going, all right, we've got this, you know, dollars set aside for this budget to like do these repairs once we get this report and know what we're looking at. But it feels like it's taken a long time. So was this just like, can you help me understand that? Because now that we're getting into this, we know we have this time crunch because of the seasons changing. And
yeah, I think early June, late May.
Okay.
I'd have a look at the.
And this is August.
Yeah.
Is that normal for the time frame for that report?
I mean, we had a site visit that we had to kind of do our own in-house data dump of what that meant visually.
Okay.
Decided to come back out and do the water test here at the end of the month, and then usually there's a month time frame to write a report after that.
My first experience with it, I just like, don't be offended by that question. Like, if that's normal operating time, then that's fine.
That's
like,
I understand we didn't start till June. We weren't in February.
Next. Oh, yeah, I knew you guys weren't in February. Yeah, that was, I get that, but I was looking at the June to August 18th here. So, yeah, that's, okay.
That's not out of the norm for
okay.
Doing field work and writing a report.
Okay.
At least for us. If we had been told it was a rush, we might have been able to go a little faster, but I'm sure we couldn't have shaved off more than a week, 10 days off that entire schedule.
And you may not have gotten your fortuitous weather events at the same time, right? Yeah.
We wouldn't have affected our water testing.
Okay.
Inasmuch as you have done the, I'm going to call it intensive review. I would have liked to have had the cliff notes on this yesterday afternoon, but it was very informative. Well done. My question is, if we would employ you to do the schematic design out from today, how long would it take you to put the schematic design together so that if we do indeed have to go to bid, so to speak, we can at least estimate what we're looking at here.
I would say once we're under contract, we're probably at least 6 weeks to do drawings.
Okay, 6 weeks. September or first part of
October. So I have
the question is, do we have to do RFP even to get the design? Is this a two-step process, RFP for the design? And then
I'm guessing it's a consulting contract.
Well, I mean, that's what I was going to ask next. Like, because we've already contracted with them to do this consulting job.
Analysis.
Yeah. Are we within the scope of allowable process if we make the determination that we retain them for the design and then the bid is for the actual construction, or are we required to bid for the design and the construction? And who can find that out and how do we know? And I'm looking at Chris, I'm looking at our director and kind of and looking at Dawn as well.
Helpful in the cost breakdown to know what portion is the design and what portion is the contracted construction.
Since it's all inclusive.
Yeah, that's true.
We would be, I assume, paying the contractor separately than the design.
So the assumption we made for an allowance in the 120 was 10% for ADE fees. So that would be 12,000.
Then no, we would not have to contract that out.
Okay. So,
we would have to get bids. If the job was over $75,000, we would have to get bids.
But if you're separating out the design from the construction.
We don't have to to go to bid for the design portion.
$12,000.
Right. So, what does the board think? Go ahead, Mr. Ramos.
I'm kind of going to go out in left field a little bit. I'm just looking.
Can you speak up or think
it for? I'm just looking at all of the options that you put forth, and in reading part of the report, you're talking about once the repairs at the wall are completed, the wall can be leak tested and reviewed to make a final determination on whether a roof recover needs to be planned. So I'm wondering, I understand you're recommending option one, but what was the purpose of presenting us with these other options you said consider them down the line. Can you put this into context for us so that we understand, so that I understand this option one, is that going to take care of our problems for the next 10 years or 20 years, or how do these other options fit into that scheme that you're considering?
So option one, we believe, will solve your problem. For how long? As long as the main roof would last, which it's already 20 years old, it's not showing signs of degradation, so I would say you've got at least 10 to 15 more years on that roof before you should even start to think about the penetration starting to create leaks in the main roof.
And the 50-year estimate for a roof is that?
That's any? A new roof.
Metal roof.
It's a new metal roof.
Okay. I wanted to make sure I understood that. Okay.
New metal roof. So,
what does option two get us from a time frame perspective then?
Option two is the recode.
Right.
I would say that's adding another 25 to 30 years on top of when it was installed.
Okay.
From when it was installed?
From when the recode is installed.
Okay. 25 years.
From now, basically. Right.
Because that's a liquid applied membrane system, so UV and factors will start to deteriorate that differently than the metal now. The recode is presented because it's a liquid applied that follows the profile of the metal deck so that aesthetically you still have the same look. If you go to option three where you retrofit it and put a regular like rubber roof system on it, it will look like a flat roof with either a white, black, gray, whatever color roofing system you would want. But it's going to be a flat roof, and
it changes the profile of the roof.
It changes the aesthetics of the building.
Okay.
So you need to be aware of that.
So is that really cosmetic in essence?
The recode system?
Option three.
Option three, no. It's a full new roof system, but it's a totally different way to look at it. That you're going away from the look of the metal deck.
Okay.
So I think
it's artistically.
Right.
Yeah.
So we presented those more so that you would have options. For instance, you've had leaks for the last 20 years. I've had some clients that would say, yeah, I like option one. I want to solve all that, but I also don't want to deal with it for the next 30 years.
Right.
And that's where they might go with the recode and make it a larger project.
So,
bundle it together.
So, question for you. So, I think it's obvious to all of us that option one we need to do, right? Like, option one is a given.
If you went and did option two,
we
got to
do
option one, you still have a lead.
Sorry. So, option one we have to do. If we decided then to do the recoat with option two on top of option one, does that have to be done at the same time?
No.
So, okay.
That's why we're saying further down the road, you have these type of options, and we provided this so you know the magnitude of what those are to do something further down the road with the roof. You do not have to do option two, three, or four now. You can wait 5 years. You may have a different problem develop in the roof itself, but then these would be the right thing to address something not in that parable.
And
so,
these estimates of cost are only for 2025, as
correct,
I read it, right?
Correct.
Okay.
They're not forecasted out for inflation beyond this year.
And if we were to pursue option two later down the road, does the design work that if you were contracted to do the design with the options, right, for the fix, does that apply if we wait a year? Does that design have to be done again if we were to add the coating?
So,
what time frame can we do both and marry them if we're not doing it all at once?
You'd have to do it pretty much
all at once. Okay. Just making sure.
Factors change. I mean, factors change. Something could change on the roof. We could see something different
sure.
on the roof a year from now that would say we needed to do slightly different design work for that roof covering. So, for instance, if you select option one, that's all we're going to design.
Okay, got you.
If you select option one and two and say, I want to do, in the spring of 26, I want to do
the coating.
Option one, and in the spring of 27, I would want to do the recovery, we might be willing to design both for that time frame.
Mm-hmm.
But if we go any further than that, option two suddenly has the possibility of a redesign.
But you're giving me what I'm trying to get at, and what I'd want to hear is what is our time frame? Yeah, what is our time frame on doing the recovering? Okay, so we would
carry over that far all the time.
If we're within 12 months, then we can. All right, I like that. Yes, Mr. Humphrey.
Well, I kind of see the options as this faces us today. Option one, two, three, not one plus three. Because if we do one, that's a fixed investment. Three adds on to that.
Was going to be my question. If we did one and two, are we saying 600 and whatever thousand?
No. We've included in option two.
I can't read it. They didn't put it in here. It's because Dawn sent it separately. Okay, guys, hang on. Can you tell me, because I can't see from here, and I don't want to be rude and walk up there. What is the price of option two in it totality? It's what, four?
Six, so it's 485,000
okay.
Option two, but it includes option one.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Okay. So if I were to recommend like my thoughts to the board right now, I would say let's move to get the, since it's 12, well, is your design for option two is 10%, right?
Yeah.
So it's not 12, but it doesn't go over 75,000. That would apply for a full year.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Chris, that's still within the range.
Just because of the cost.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you including the 45,000 or the 15,000 in your 10%?
No, the contingency is not part of our design fee.
Okay, I just wanted to see that, which changes it. Then if it's 115,000, I'm sorry, 105,000, then did you say 10% of that is what you're saying for option one, and then the same thing?
And that's just the budget number. I mean, we'll probably be.
It's a guesstimate.
It's a guesstimate.
Whatever.
Right.
It's kind of like a
yep.
placeholder.
Yep.
So in option two, then the differentiation. Minus the 45,000, so the whole price is like 440, right? 440, and then so the 10% of the 440 is 44,000, and we're still under 75,000 for schematic designs. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's my thought. You're good. Like if I were to recommend today, it would be designed for option two. Go ahead and do the contract, and then let's get those design plans done with the understanding that we would move immediately for option one to do the repairs, and then potentially have a little bit of lag time before the recoding, but that would occur within that 12 months.
Period.
And Ed's shaking his head no, but that's my thought.
Yeah.
But Mr. Humphrey, you have some thoughts.
Ed's only shaking his head no because I think we ought to do one or the other and not... I don't think we should do one and then the other one a year later. If we're going to do the other one, we ought to do it now and get it done and get it fixed.
That's what I'm suggesting. It's just because of the time frame of the construction being in the spring with rainy weather, we may have to push that recoding out a little bit because of construction considerations, so it may not be able to be done at the same time as the immediate repairs. Does that make sense? Am I making an accurate assumption?
To do one, like if you wanted to try to push and do one this fall, weather dependent, and that's a big if, you could do one and then come back and do the recoat next summer when the weather dries out. That's a possibility.
Can we choose option two now and immediately move to do those things that are in option one that are repeated in option two?
Yes.
And then finish the rest of the story when we're in full construction season?
You could accept option two and do the option one as soon as feasible and follow up next spring when the weather breaks with the recoat.
That's what we're talking about.
And that's what I think, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, Ed, I'm actually saying we're choosing option two. We just recognize that because of the timing, the season, and the weather constraints, we can't necessarily get it all done at the same time. And I feel like option two makes the most sense to me from a budgetary perspective, and also, frankly, I don't care about the roof line. I don't care what it looks like. I just don't want it to leak. And I don't want to be back here having the same conversation in like five more years. Like, I want it to be, I want it to last a little bit longer.
For 20 years instead of 10.
Exactly. So that would be my thought and recommendation to the board, but I, not everyone has spoken, so I'm going to stop talking.
That concept of doing one now and delaying the recover, is that something that contractors are, in your experience, the contractor is going to be willing to work with?
Well, if you do option now and you're saying delay like option two just until next spring and have the same contractor is what you're asking?
Well, delaying the roof recover.
Yeah.
If you decide to delay the roof recover more than like next spring, you're probably going to be smarter to rebid and start with another contractor. He's not going to want to have a job out there where he waits two or three years to put it down.
Well, we're talking about within that 12, that less than 12 month window that your design covers.
When the weather permits, get on.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's what we're talking about.
If you're saying delay, the way the report's written, you can delay doing two for two or three years.
No.
Projects.
No.
I was just recognizing this 3-4 months.
The time frame.
The weather's just going to, we're up against the weather.
We have jobs
even
go,
ready to go in June.
Yeah.
We have jobs that go multiple years and they shut down from like November to March and the contractor just picks up and goes on with when the weather breaks. That's normal. So a contractor's not going to worry about that at all.
It's kind of no different
but
than
we'd
when
like
we
to
built
get
this building right here.
Temporarily fixed so that it can be permanently fixed without further damage.
Right. No question in regards to that option two. Will, and you've been on this more than what I have, will we be required getting permitting from the county to do the option two?
Most likely because it is a roof system.
Okay.
The county would consider that a roof replacement, and you're allowed to do up to three per code, but roofing is one thing that usually they would trigger a permit versus saying it's maintenance.
Okay, then we need to add at least 6 weeks to 2 months out for Fairmont County to do permitting.
Yep.
And is that for option one repairs and the recovering or just the recovering?
Because of what you're doing, you can get by without a permit.
Okay. So if we go ahead and move forward with the option one, like if we're picking option two, we get the design for option two, but we're just doing the actual roof repair, we're not getting permits probably for that piece of it, but we do have then that lag time where we're under the weather and we can't do the recovering, we can use that time to get the permits from the county. Does that sound reasonable?
I believe that would work.
Okay.
There's also a phone call.
Get on it, Judy. All right, so I think I know what I want us to do, but I, again, want every... We're a seven-member board here.
Can comment on with her background just to add to the conversation?
I mean, I think that option two is fine, but I think if we're going to go with that, then we need to get an RFP out for bid immediately for contractors. I am a little concerned we're not going to be able to get even option one done this year just based on the workload that I'm aware of that is coming on. But
mm-hmm.
I don't know. You guys
would
be able to tell that better than I would.
But we can't get it fixed, so we can get it fixed. So.
Exactly. But I just,
and we can't get the RFP.
We
can't get the RFP until we do the contract.
Design, right? Well, we can get an RFP written right now and put out for bid, and that way when designs are done, they can just automatically go.
But what are they bidding on?
But they have to bid to the design.
If they can help us write the RFP, that this is kind of what we're working on, then we can go for a bid and then be able to go from that. So I want to wait until October to put out bid for RFP, and then we won't get one until November.
But would that be how you guys work?
So, I mean, we can write an RFP where we put out a narrative of what the job is going to be so somebody can start looking at it. And then as we get further into the design, we could issue the drawings. But before he ever would give you a final price, he's going to want to see the
drawings. He's got to see the drawings. Okay.
I just think we're going to have to start the RFP process now. Otherwise, I don't think we're going to get anyone in.
But if we have to have the drawings, how long will it take to get the drawings so the contractor...
6 weeks.
Six weeks.
If we contract with them today, it's 6 weeks.
Yeah.
6 weeks.
Or first part of
October. Okay.
That's probably true. If we took option one, we'd be with the same time period.
Correct.
Yeah,
so question to the board. Does anyone disagree that option two seems like our best option? How many people? How many of us? With, I mean, it's not a formal vote, but just temperature check. How do we feel about option two? I'm in favor of option two. I got a 2-2. Ed, thoughts?
2's fine with me. We need to get it fixed.
2-2. Okay.
Longer fix is better than
a short term fix. 2 seems like the winner. We understand that there is likely going to be a delay due to weather to do the recovering after the actual repair piece is done. But as long as we can do that with the weather delay, you guys feel like whatever contractor we end up going with after the RFP would be able to do that within... with that same contractor, because we're not talking about waiting 2 years, we're just talking about a time frame of months. Okay, yes, Mr. Humphrey.
One of the other things we have
we're
to
moving forward
is the aesthetics are going to say part of the building is going to change.
Not with the recovering. Not with option two. Option three, option four changes the architecture. Okay. All right. Okay. All right, so...
We also don't have enough. We only allotted 400,000.
So from a capital budget allotment perspective, we can... Ms. Schluter is talking about the fact that we only allocated 400,000. I thought we raised it. No, I thought we raised it. I thought we added it or we rounded it up. Melanie, what did we...
$800,000.
But what did we allocate... Yeah, but what did we allocate for the roof?
It was 400,000.
Was it four? Yeah. I thought we raised it.
I don't think so.
I don't have the numbers in out.
Okay.
I don't
remember exactly right off the
top. We also held the sign money.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a second. So, I mean, we've got it in the budget to allocate the additional monies for the roof. Because the design cost is still under the threshold for putting it out to bid, what does the board feel about doing a contract with our consultants here to move forward so that we can get the plans started, so we can get the bid out for...
They've done all the work already. They know exactly what needs to be done.
My thought, too.
They provided the estimates. And, you know, let's not waste any more time. Time is of the essence. And we definitely, you know, we did, I don't know how many hundreds or tens of hundreds or thousands.
Tens of hundreds?
In the internal Bethel rehab and whatnot. And it's all, you know, as we can see. We're already in the ceiling tiles. You can see the drip. And whatever, we just need to move on. And I would love to know how much money we have spent trying to make improvements to the roofing at Bethel since its purchase and inception.
Well, that's a looking backward. We're going to focus on looking forward in the interest of the meeting. And we can look that up. And
right.
I'll have a little gut check and say, all right, let's move on.
Design cost is $44,000.
Correct.
Roughly.
For option two.
We're going to work it out, but we're in that range. We may be a little less than that. I mean,
you can't go over 75.
Right.
You can't go over 75.
Okay. Okay.
Ms. Smithy.
Our budget committee meeting was in March.
Yes.
And it was $422,650 for the Bethel roof.
For the roof. Okay. So we don't have too much to switch over. Okay.
Okay.
And we may not even, with what was the, well, I don't have the thing in front of me, well, for the contingency.
Still don't have a hard bid from a contractor.
Correct.
So that may even, if he's aggressive, he may even save money.
We can always
correct.
Do an amendment to the appropriations.
Yep, we can. So I, in the interest of this discussion and meeting time, would like to see a motion to go ahead and contract with THB Limited to do the design for option 2 as outlined in their presentation.
So moves.
I guess I just made the motion. All right, so I made the motion. Ms. Bach made the motion. Ms. Schluter seconded, right?
Great.
Sorry. You guys sound exactly alike to me. Can I have a roll call vote on that?
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Does that include owner's rep services as well?
It does.
Okay.
There we go. Roll call vote.
Ms. Doss?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
Ms. White?
Yes.
Ms. Cosica?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Ms. Bach?
Yes.
Ms. Schluter?
Yes.
Excellent. Okay. Motion passes. You guys are hired.
Thanks.
Try to be a little quicker than 2 months if you can. This is urgency is the name of the game.
Can I make a suggestion, Mr. President, that we once that contract is prepared, that we expedite it to the prosecutor's office to approve it as a form?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, we would do that anyway.
Yeah, we would.
I'm just setting the record straight.
Yes, and then to Ms. Bach's point earlier, if y'all can help us with at least starting an outline for an RFP, and that way we can get moving on the RFP to identify contractors and provide us with your list of recommended contractors so that we can bump that up against whatever we get from that bid, that would be
Jen,
great.
Is there an additional cost for procuring a bid?
Is there an additional cost for helping us with a RFP? Okay, no. Thank you.
We're talking at this point, it would be a narrative, several paragraphs description of the project, which we're going to do anyway.
Comes from your report, basically. Okay.
We'll move right into drawings.
Excellent.
Yeah, this would be an excellent appendix.
Yeah. Any other discussion that we need to have about the Bethel roof at this point? I think we have a good plan moving forward. We appreciate your time. You're welcome to stay and listen to all the other administrative stuff that we're talking about, but you've got to get working on it. Exactly. Okay.
It's the 18th of August.
All right. Get us a contract and let's get moving on it. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Have a good evening.
You too.
Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Don't we have to talk about
it? Thank you.
Thank you.
I'll be able to.
We already did. That's what we voted on. We said we voted the contract with them to go with option 2, to design option 2. Nope. We just did it all in one.
Yay.
Yeah, there you go. That's what you voted on. All right.
Okay,
I think.
Yeah, that went right over. You can see that.
Judy, our sign comment, I think we're going to do after, like a little bit later in the agenda.
I'm sorry.
The sign conversation is going to be a little bit later in the agenda. I just want to give you a heads up,
so
that we talked about. So you're not
ready to, just since we are all
you're
on
ready to jump in. Yeah, let's table that for just a minute or two. So next on our agenda is our Get to Know the Library series, which is facilities, which is Dawn ready to go, who can lead with look how pretty the handicapped spots in our parking lot look. Yeah, they do. They did a good job. And part of it was
me. Well, I want to thank you all for understanding where we were coming with the stuff with that. It's been a pretty drawn-out process with that and just coordination and things of that nature. So myself personally, I feel that we made the best decision this evening. Or you all made the best decision, I'll leave it that way, for option 2, because it covers everything that we will have done as we go forward. Okay, on to facilities. Since we talked the last time, we have been very busy in the facilities department. Over the course of time, We have completed a lot of the options out of the 3, 5, and 10-year plan, which I have updated for everybody.
No, I will.
That I will hand you also that you can look at them and see that as to what has transpired. I tried to highlight in blue so it's easier to read. We'll say that anyway. I know it's rough at times.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I'm not going to go through this, but we've accomplished a lot of the tasks that we had outlined in our 3, 5, and 10-year plan. Even some of the things that go as far as the 10-year plan have been completed already in 24 and 25. I take that back. In our 5-year plan, what the 10-year plan for the lighting and stuff of all the branches, that is completed. All of our branches have been updated with LED lighting on the interior, and the wall packs and ground lighting at the branches or the outside have been updated. So we've got all new lighting everywhere across the association. Also, over the course of the last couple, the last year basically, we have completed the project of the handicap parking here at Miami Township, the improvement project to make it closer for our guests to be into the lot, into the lots. And let me see if I got the right ones, if I did this correct. There we go. So, this is the beginning of the construction process, which started approximately 2 weeks ago, and it was completed this morning between 7 and 8 a.m.
If only a roof could be repaired so quickly.
And I'm going to go out of here, and I'm just going to go to the final picture. I did this melting work right here. The right one.
Yay.
That is the final product that we have out here at Miami Township at this time. We've already had numerous guests in there. The staff said that we've had some compliments, that it's so much nicer to have it closer. As we were installing it, I was out there with the crews, and many guests came up and said thank you. They appreciated the board and the branch for getting this taken care of.
Don, quick question for you. What was our total cost for those three spots? I know we had our estimate, but what did the bill come in at? Do we know?
You know what? I had to go and look at it. It came in, right? If we were coming to this meeting and I didn't print it off, I apologize.
No, that's okay. Can you just let us know, just out of curiosity?
Yeah. Now, I do have to include that during this construction, we discovered that we had a cracked piece of concrete that was becoming a trip hazard that I went ahead and did a change order for that was added into the cost of this.
Okay.
And it was taking out of this money that we had in the budget, but it was $4,200 just for the big slab of concrete that had a large crack all the way across it. And I'd already raised a quarter of an inch, which was becoming a trip hazard. And it was, unfortunately, it was right on the slant where we have a handicap walkway. So So it would cause a problem eventually. So we took care of it while we were at this process, just to solve it. Thank you. I'm sorry.
And the changes that we made to the landscaping there at the same time, was that like lumped into this cost as well, or is that going to be separate?
Are you talking about
ripping out the shrubs in front of the...
That was a separate cost that
okay.
came out of just the general fund.
Got it. Thank you.
You mean in front of the lockers?
Yeah, for the safety for the lockers, because it was getting overgrown and you couldn't really see.
In the adjacent to the handicap spots.
Yeah, well, yeah, just in front.
Landscaping around the handicap spots was included in the project.
In the overall
okay.
cost.
Got it.
We had... our landscaper give us a quick estimate on what it would take the shrubs out. We do have a little bit more work to do there. We're considering our best option for getting a pathway up to the lockers and everything. So there will be a little bit more cost associated with that, but I don't think it's going to be anything substantial.
The public safety area is, I think, what your major concern
yeah,
is.
We were just concerned
public
about the safety of that. Yeah, so...
Address.
Good deal.
Okay. During the last few months, the facilities department has, as I said, been pretty busy. We have made reorganizational moves in Union Township branch at their in their workroom to make their workflow more efficient and, I guess I'm going to say, user-friendly. It just made a vast improvement in how their work flows. I think the staff all appreciate it. They've taken and adjusted to it pretty well as to what's going on and found that it's more efficient. Also, we have reorganized the Goshen Branch Children's Area to make the experience there for the children and their family, their parents a lot easier by just moving shelving around, bringing in new shelving, downsizing some of the shelving, and just a general overall reorganization just within the branch. Also included something that was pretty significant was the, with the help of the IS department, we have developed a van driver's training manual along with the test and operation of the new library to go lift, so that all staff that will be involved can be trained on the use of that. It is a, with Ed's expertise in that, he took and modified a manual to make it easier to for everybody to read. So it is in our staff trainings, if I'm not mistaken now, that it will be, as we bring staff on, they'll be trained on the van to operate. Along with that, we've also done a portion of the Williamsburg project that was a capital project with the retaining wall behind the building. It has been capped with concrete and new safety bollards and chains have been installed there. And the seal coating for that parking lot, which was included in that, is being done the 24th of this month. So we've moved along with that, just a quick get it done, get in and get it done. Included in that, we added a little concrete pad out in the front because the one that was there was very deteriorated, and we had a new pad added for that, for the Kiwanis bench that goes in the front. We did fall behind a little bit on our work order system due to the fact that we had one of our staff that was out with a health issue for over a month. So we got a little bit behind, but we are slowly catching up on the work orders so that there's nothing that's really outstanding at this point. And Ed, do you have anything to add? Okay. At this point, I just wanted to let you all know that I have decided...
No. No, you can't say it.
Yes.
You can't say it.
I have decided that the 26th of December will be my last day. I'm retiring at the end of the year. I've been doing this for 40 years, and it's time for me to take a leave of absence and do some other stuff. But I just wanted to bring that in to you all and let you all know.
December of 2026 or December 26th?
This year.
December
this year.
2025.
It's his Christmas present to himself.
I'm just telling you, that's what I heard.
But that's our little update. Are there any questions?
Do you want to refresh everybody about Ed?
Ed a couple times. Yes, Ed Jolly. He will be sort of filling in and taking over. He's been running the show anyway. Basically, he does all the hard stuff, gets the guys out, does the things that I get to set in the office the majority of the time. He's been going out to the sites and working with the guys. Ed is probably more qualified than I am with a lot of this stuff, and he will be a great asset and carry on with everything that we've got going on.
I can attest that Don has taught him how to aggravate the fiscal department.
There we go. That is succession planning at its best.
Well, Don, congratulations on your retirement.
Thank you. Thank you.
Catch a fish for me, but I'm just not happy about it. So you will be missed. But we still have, you know, it's only August 18th, so we've got some time with you still. There you go.
That's why I said December of 2026.
There you go.
Well, Ed is going to, he's been involved in this process from basically the get-go, either with me at the site and meeting with Mitch on site, or he's been in the background and I've been filling in. And so he's well-versed on what we've got. He is custom leaks as well as I have over there a couple of different times, because every time we hear it rains, we get another one. So
I actually do have a question for you, Don.
Yes.
Did I dream it, or is there a drainage issue at Felicity?
Look at the look.
Because that's the one that's got the culvert, right? And then we have, it'll have standing water, like, in the front.
Right along.
We have rain? Okay.
Yes. I'm not sure if it's a drainage issue or if it's just the lay of the land. Because I do not feel that there's any drainage that runs to the adjacent property to us behind.
Okay.
We would have to investigate that further to find out.
Okay.
Because I know we do have standing water in one area behind the building that probably needs to be addressed as we go forth, but I think it's been that way from the beginning because of the way they excavated the land when they built the building, that it's just been laying there and with erosion over time.
Okay. Thank you. I was just thinking about potential capital projects in 2026 and thinking about planning ahead that maybe can we add that to the list of just a placeholder for this is something that we might need to look into.
Just condition.
Yeah. Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I couldn't remember if it was like the woods on the side or if it was tied to the culvert or if it was an R problem or if it was like the community problem or what, but it's mosquito-y, so.
You need to fix it.
Yeah.
Are there any questions about the update to the 3, 5, and 10-year plan? I tried to be pretty specific on what we've done and where we're at with everything. Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you, Don. All right. Let me get back to agenda here. I know our next item on the agenda is our BOT brief, but before we do that, Ms. Kasika, do you want to talk about the signs? Just like, do we want to bring that up? Because we're right at the end of facilities there.
Present when we discussed the capital budget, we indicated that because everything was fully funded, but the signs for Goshen and the Williamsburg were suspended at that time, pending, and we thought it would be a lot sooner, but pending the cost of the roof, not knowing what it would be. And everyone was in agreement. Inasmuch as it's August 18th, and we're not going to utilize all those dollars for the roof replacement at this point in time, I'd like to go ahead, since the money is in place, and because of the dialogue that was subsequent to the adoption of the state budget, that the importance of communities knowing what services were available to them or to participate within, I'd like to go ahead and authorize the purchase of those signs to be installed as soon as possible.
For Williamsburg and for Goshen.
The other thing that I'd like to ask is, could we have, at all 10 branches or where, however, I hope we have signs at all 10 branches, and if we don't, we need to look at making sure that it's equitable, that we have a continuity of the dialogue that's on the sign. In other words, hours of operation or upcoming activities or programs.
3D printers here. We have a notary here. Just some kind of consistent framework, I think, is what you're saying. Like consistent framework for the messaging that's occurring on the electronic signs.
Right.
And we don't have one in Owensville because we don't have the road frontage, but I think that the goal has been to get one at every other branch. Is there any other branch that still doesn't have one?
Felicity doesn't have one.
Okay, so we still have future.
I think that, you know, the question is it worth a $50,000 sign at Felicity when it's all the way down at the end? And who's going to see it?
And door counts and stuff, too. Like, we got to figure out the
question.
So there's none at Owensville because of lack of availability.
No frontage.
Yep.
Right.
Placement.
We have investigated that.
There's none at Felicity, and so if we do Goshen, and we do Williamsburg, will that be 8 out of the 10?
We need one at Amelia.
7 out of 10.
Batavia does not have one. Bethel has one. Felicity does not. Goshen will have one. Miami Township has one. New Richmond has one. Owensville cannot have one. Union Township has one, and Williamsburg will have one. So the outstanding ones would be Amelia, Batavia, and Felicity.
And if I may, on the Batavia one,
right. We
will have to get some approval because it will have to be mounted to the building somehow or the other.
Yeah.
We do not have any frontage or land there that we can put one on. So, and that would have to go through probably the city committee.
Village.
To be approved for us to do something on the exterior of the building.
So for right now, then...
it'll be 7 out of 10. And because one is unavailable, it sounds like almost two of them are unavailable without special conditions. And
6 out of 10.
Huh?
It'll be 6 out of 10.
Who's
not, can't do Owensville, Felicity, Batavia, Amelia. And Batavia and Owensville are the two that don't have any road frontage and would be problematic. But then we have Felicity and we have Amelia.
So who was the other? I'm sorry.
Amelia and...
I already got that.
Felicity.
Amelia.
But then the two that don't have road frontage are Batavia and Owensville.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. So 6 out of 10. We're getting there.
If I may insert something here.
Of course.
We've had quite a few issues over my tenure here with the Bethel sign, that since that it was a move from Union Township.
Miami Township.
From Miami
Township,
to the Bethel. And we've had some repairs done to it because of the lights going out, pixelating. We've had new panels installed on it. We've had our sign person out there, I'd say half a dozen times to have it looked at. I would like to talk about maybe replacing that sign with an updated version, because it does not have all the bells and whistles that the sign like here at Miami Township has.
Don, what's the difference in an upgrade versus a whole new one? What, like 50,000 is what we're talking about for new ones at Williamsburg and Goshen. How much, just ballpark, if you know. If you don't know, that's fine. We can get it.
I do not know that. And my suggestion would be that we replace that sign completely with the $50,000 sign as we would with Goshen and Williamsburg.
But since it's already on a platform for an electronic sign, like my understanding of the reason why we have 50 grand for the two, is because we have to do the footers and the concrete and all that stuff.
I will get with Triumph and have them do an evaluation.
Okay.
And give us a determination on that. That's okay.
Because the site's already written.
Right. It's there's an existing sign there, so I would think that it would be less money than putting a brand new one and having to do the concrete and the mount and all that good stuff.
I'd have to go back.
But who knows?
And I know that there's a breakdown as to how they got the slabs and everything for the other branches of Goshen and Williamsburg from the quotes that I got. So I'll have to go back and look at that. See
okay.
If I can make an estimate, or I'll get with Triumph and have them give me an estimate for that one also, because I'm going to have to do it with the other branches also if you all approve us to go move forward with them.
If we were to move forward with that, the first message would be no more leaky roof on the electronic sign at Bethel.
I'm sorry, what did you say? I'm so done with it. Can we just move on?
I'm sorry, I can't help it. Okay, thank you, Don. That's helpful. Yes, Mr. Humphrey, wait.
If we're talking about putting a sign on the building in Batavia because there's no frontage, road frontage there, why can't we do that at Owensville?
I think you'd still have trouble seeing because you've got the whole parking lot versus
it's back off the road.
Yeah.
It's not
the setback on where Owensville is located is part of the problem.
Well,
and in Batavia you've got foot traffic where you don't have that in Owensville.
Right. And the only reason would be for Batavia would be because, as Jenny said, because of the foot traffic. Because the majority of the guests that go into Batavia are from the local area that do a lot of walking to the branch, that they would see it. Where at Owensville, there is really no foot traffic at Owensville.
Right. Okay. I'm almost worried that would cause more of an accident on 50 than anything else, trying to crane your head around and see what the sign said, right? So I would be doing that.
Sharing it with this week is that unless we took up some parking spots and had it closer so that people could see it up and down 50 as opposed to setting it back or setting it up on it.
And is it really a good site for an electronic sign considering the somewhat repurposed nature of that branch
right.
with the library to
now,
go?
Which
staging.
Right.
Yeah. So thoughts to consider. Okay, so any other questions? I think, Mr. Humphrey, did you have your hand up for a question?
You are. It's been solved.
Okay, great. Just didn't want to leave you hanging there. All right, so it sounds like, Ms. Kasika, did you make that motion
yes.
to go ahead and approve?
To authorize.
So do we have a second?
Electronic signs for Williamsburg and Goshen.
All right, so Ms. Kasika made the motion. Mr. Humphrey seconded. It's money. Can I have a roll call vote? I'm sorry. I like to have roll calls on any money stuff.
Me too.
Ms. Doss?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
Ms. Wade?
Yes.
Ms. Kosika?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Ms. Bach?
Yes.
Ms. Schluter?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay, next item on the agenda. Mr. Ramos, you are up for BOT brief. I think you were going to talk about the inconsistencies in the updated legal language on the terms?
Well, as it relates to the terms of the trustees, the statutes have been changed. Actually, two statutes have been changed. it's basically changing from a 7-year to a 4-year period, but listen.
It's still confusing.
They put in both of the 337530 and 337522, they put it into two separate sections. They put sections in there that talk about if these statutes are not in effect until September 30. So what the legislature did was they put in two sections under each statute saying that if the county commissioners or the judges appoint somebody to the board before the effective date, they space them out, and they talk about them dealing with 7-year statutes. After the effective date, it's a four-year period. In both situations, what they tried to do was, I think, I don't know, I couldn't find anything on why they changed it from 7 to 4. I can only assume that they may think that more people will get involved or more people.
I suspect it has something to do with the number of terms and the fact that they are at least 2 terms each for, it's really 4 terms if they would run for it, but it's 4 years for commissioners to run and make those appointments, 6 years for judges and whatnot, and the differentiation. And most other terms, I think the library, when it was researched, is the one board that has the longest term for any one person to serve.
So if they're tied to the judges' terms and the commissioners' terms.
But they're all 4 years. They're all 4 years.
I know, but
okay.
It just boggles my mind that they're going to this trouble to do this.
Really?
Just pull it out of the air.
Well,
take a look at some of the other stuff. Or
the realistic parts of it. Anyway,
well,
what they did do.
Can I ask a question, too? Wasn't there potential discussion of also making these positions elected positions rather than appointed positions? I mean, that was in...
It's conjecture.
That was... I thought that there was some scuttlebutt about that, and that four-year kind of aligns more with that elected, but...
What they did do, both as it relates to appointments before the effective dates and the appointments after the effective dates, is they... Well, when the judges appoint people, their first appointments have to be spaced out. I think it's... They space them out 2, 4, their expirations, 2, 3, and 4 years. And then the commissioners, I think, are
1, 3, and 5.
Yeah, 1, 3, and 5, so that they have somebody on the board going off the board, one person each year.
Right.
Which is what we have now with a 7-year term and a 7-member board.
Well, that will change so you'll have a commissioner appointment and a judicial appointment at the same year.
I know.
Going forward.
It's just making it more complicated.
If there are 4-year terms, how I don't know how you couldn't avoid that.
Well,
with 7 members and 7-year terms.
It's still
right.
seven people. Mm-hmm. But changing from 2 to 4-year term.
Well,
so
are you saying, Ernie, that the language that's in the revised code is trying to address both current conditions and the conditions once it becomes effective in September?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's why it's confusing. It seems like it contradicts itself.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you
for unraveling that.
This becomes effective this date, and because they'll have passed it already, and then they'll say, as of this date, this is the way it goes. So you really have to check whether it's bidding or anything else.
It's effective this date, but
except when.
So it's pretty confusing, but. For those of us who are on here, our terms are 7 years or set to expire
mm-hmm.
7 years after our appointment.
Incumbents are not affected.
Right.
All right. Thank you for that. I'm just glad that it's not turning into a politically elected position because I have no desire to be a politician.
You
don't want to be a politician. I just want to serve the library. I want to read books. All right. Fiscal Officer's Report. You are up, Ms. Smithy.
Thank you. Debbie is on vacation, so I'm solo again. We have the July fiscal report with the bank reconciliation, our check registers. Sorry, my fingers aren't working. We have the month-to-date, year-to-date fund and bank reports with our end of month balancing report, the PLF, I'm I'm not really sure how to. There was some discussion on this, whether there was going to be the same amount every year, every month we were going to be expecting with the new...
line item.
Yes, line item budget. And it, and in speaking with Michelle Francis and some other fiscal officers, it's not going to be the same amount exactly each month because, as was explained to me by Michelle Francis, the way they take out the funding for the State Library, Ohioana, all the other things that they're taking out, they don't do it at the same time every month. They don't do it at the same time every year. So it...
Do they do it every month, though?
Probably not.
No, probably not. Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. They don't have a specific day that that comes out. So that will affect how much we get. It should be not a lot, but it will affect how much we're getting. So we we're up a little bit, as you can see, in August than we were in July, and we're happy to take that. So,
and we'll be... down yeah, next month, and then we'll be up again.
Everyone is still trying to understand it and figure it out and be able to. The estimates for calendar year 2026 look like for the first half of the year, it, they're estimating the same amount every month, and then the, and I'll bring those figures next month or later on. The figures for the latter part of the year next year are not the same as the first. So I don't, I'm not sure what's going on there. No one can really tell me. But
the latter part of this year?
No, calendar year 26. So the first, I think, 6 months they're estimating we'll get the same amount each month. But then the latter half of the year, it's going to be a little bit different each month. I know.
Creative math.
Right. One and one is still two, though, right, Judy?
It is for me.
We have our resolution for the resolution 2025-20, which is for the volunteer, the book sale. Then our resolution, our housekeeping resolution for the obsolete inventory, our supplemental check information, and then you also have the revenue and expense report for the month. I have my fiscal officer report here. The 2024 audit has been submitted to the Ohio Auditor's Office. As soon as that's back, we'll have more to report on that. The we have our listings here of our trainings. The we've been attending, I've been attending or listening to, and the OLC state budget. Debbie did her first aid CPR training. I attended a communications as a manager webinar training and also essentials of critical thinking webinar this recently. The RC2 was sent to Jenny Nichols for review as the board requested. I had scheduled a meeting with Jennifer Hartley and Greg Gentile of the County Auditor's Office. They came out last week to speak to me about training on filing estimated, the certificate of estimated resources. I am still trying to understand that and make sure it's done properly. The fiscal officer participated in HR specialist position interviews. We're still doing our documentation. There is a lot of procedures. And, of course, we both attend managers' meetings and support department meetings. Joe from Red Tree will be at the board meeting in October to speak to us. And Joe was also very helpful. He put me in connection with Heather. I'm sorry, I can't remember her last name right now. With Bradley and Payne. She is who worked with Mara when we set up the debt for this building. She is also going to work with us to set up how to pay off the debt for this building, which that is, we're getting ready to budget for that for next year. She could also come and speak to us, but I do have a meeting with her. I think it's next week, so I'll have some more information to relay to you guys on how the process for that. As she says, most fiscal officers only do that once in their whole career, so they apparently, this is a...
This is the 10-year recall, right? And that money is already there. It's mm-hmm. a matter of appropriating it for that purpose.
The one thing she did say is we went over some of the numbers and her suggestion was do not put any more money into the debt fund. It has enough. We're at a good spot. We're right at it. So we don't need to put any more money in there when we budget for this year, which was good to know. So we've been doing well each year, putting money aside for that to get it to the point where it needs to be. It is due in December. She said you can pay it off as early as September because it takes a couple, you know, a month or two to get that. So I will know more about that. But since I don't know anything about it, I wanted to go ahead and get started on figuring it out. So that's what we're doing. Does anybody have any questions?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I think we will definitely be paying as early as we can without penalty to make sure that's done. And
I did look up the purchase requisition from back in 2011 when she worked with Mara on that previously. It's the same cost. It's $10,000 for their services. It's the same as it was then. So inflation has not hit that.
Yet.
But it's well worth it because, like I said, I don't have any experience with that, and we want to do it right.
Exactly.
And we use them when we...
Yes, we do.
...took care of that before. So I will gather more information and bring more to you as I get it.
Any questions for the fiscal office of one tonight? The fiscal office of one. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right.
And
so,
I have, things from last month for you.
I already told her.
You were up.
She knows she's going to double sign tonight. I already gave her a heads up. So I'm looking for a motion to approve the July 2025 financial reports as shared. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
All right. Ms. Bach makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Schluter seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Next one is a motion to approve the July 2025 bills paid as submitted. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
All right. Ms. White makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Remo seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. Thank you. And then a third fiscal motion. May I have one for the approval of the July 2025 bill paid for Anthem only?
So moved.
Sorry.
All right, Ms. Kasika makes the motion. Mr. Humphrey seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, let the record show that I abstain. Don't have any conflict of interest. So next item on the agenda is the director's report. Ms. Wick, you're up.
I was on vacation when Andrea filled out the director's report, so I'm going to hand it off to her to give. It is a short report, as you probably saw. Melanie kind of touched on the funding update. Cybersecurity was signed into law on June 30th, creating new cybersecurity requirements for Ohio public libraries. And Lynn and the IS team are aware of that. There's a summary of what that means in the director's report. So mandatory reporting takes effect September 30th of 2025. And public libraries are required to implement the cybersecurity program and training by July 1 of 2026. For public services, summer reading, we were up 3% over the 2024 registrations, so I think that's fantastic. And we had a total of over 4 million minutes read, and we reached our We Love to Read challenge of 8 million minutes on July 30th. Just as Chris predicted that we would hit that before the end of summer, she was Don talked about the driving manual for the library to go, and they had their first orientation last week on the 12th. We know about the capital projects. I had a typo on the Miami Township parking spots. I put 2052. It's 2025.
Wow.
Wow, I know. So I recognize my typo.
That's there. Way ahead of schedule.
Transpose the two numbers.
Yeah, transposition of digits.
And then the Dolly Parton Imagination enrollment rate still hovering right at that 63%. Yes.
I noticed that we have more graduates than we had
Enrollees?
Enroll, yeah.
Yeah, participants for the first time.
Okay, that's it. Any questions?
I have a couple of add-ons. I just, Laura Eckert, who is here today, she is going to be talking a little bit more about our website and the fabulous work that she's done, and Jessica Bell, shout her out now too, on getting all of that done, the whole team over there. But Laura sent me a report on our summer reading program. I'd like to share that 96% of the participating participants of the survey felt that their child's reading skills improved or were maintained because of summer reading. That's why we do it. 96%, that's a really great number. Also, that 62% agreed that their family read more often during the summer because of the summer reading challenge. And that their 63.5% of the families visited the library more often during the summer reading challenge. So we do good work over the summertime. It's hard work. The staff put a lot of work into it, so I want to acknowledge their work. And the summer reading program was very successful this year. So proud of that.
I think that's great. And I wish, how do we keep that momentum going throughout the rest of the year?
That's why we do the quarterly reading challenges. So you will have received the next newsletter.
Howl Read
is our fall newsletter. And this is Teresa's favorite program, the Boo Bag, so shout out to her. That's really all I had. We'll discuss this with the building committee. We're going to be scheduling a building committee meeting. America 250 has reached out about a mural on the Williamsburg branch. So we will discuss that at the building committee and then bring a recommendation to the whole board.
The Williamsburg branch.
Williamsburg branch. They can't find another building in Williamsburg that wants to host the mural, so they've come to us. As far as statistics go, we are 2% ahead of where we were this last year. We're just down 2% from 2019, which I think is really pretty phenomenal. And we are a little bit ahead of door counts from last year, so I think our statistics are looking good. So I think that's it.
All right. And we're going to have a department brief.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Did that last time.
Yes. This
I'm just going by the agenda in front of me.
This is what I was referring to earlier. This is a department brief from Information Services. They're going to be talking about the changes to the website. And community engagement is also here. Changes to the website and the catalog. And we have a couple members of the team here. So we have Jessica Bell. We have Casey Ritchie, the IS supervisor. Laura Eckert, CED. You all know Lynn, and you remember Dot. And I'll turn it over to them. I'll get the links.
We get three presentations tonight. That's awesome. Director report. Thank you.
Now you have to speak into the microphone. See you later, Thunder. I'm coming over. Speaking into the microphone. So, guys, good evening. If you guys all know me, and just kind of introduced the
team. That's really dark. That's really dark. Yeah, a little bit more.
There's also things I can see in the dark tonight, which is not true at all. Not with these eyes. So this is our Information Services BOT department brief. And as Chris said, the project we want to highlight for you tonight is our new website and our updated catalog. All right. And, of course, our goals in creating a new website and updating our catalog align with the library's core values of service and access. We want people to know what we have and be able to find it. And these are also great tools that will help us provide excellent customer service. Now, both the website and the catalog will be live to the world as soon as possible. We were actually hoping that would be today. We ran into a little technical issue. We have vendor working on that nothing huge in the way of problems, just a little technology to sort out. So yes, to give you a brief look at the new website and catalog, I brought friends. this has been a big collaboration between actually three departments. Only two of us could be here tonight. Information Services is responsible for the catalog, so brought along Jessica Bell, our System Administrator at ILS, who basically breathes and sleeps our catalog and circulation system. And, of course, our fabulous supervisor, Casey Rich.
Right.
And the website is the responsibility of our community engagement department. So, of course, we have Manager Doc Green here and our incredible digital specialist, Laura Egger. So I'm going to turn this over to Doc to tell you a little about the CED portion of the project.
Hi, I was mostly here to introduce Laura, but Chris already did that. I did want to say, though, I'm really excited about this new site. When I was interviewing for this position, I did a lot of research about the library using the current site. And while it provides the information, it's not the best user experience, in my opinion. It's a little bit hard to find some things, which the new site has completely taken care of. Plus, it's visually really attractive. And Laura is the one who did this huge amount of work on it. So she's going to show you, like, why it's so much better in a little brief way.
That would be a brief, if I possibly can. I mean, not all the things, but I won't show you everything. I'll just show you some of the things.
Or you have to turn off the lights.
Can I have them up just for beginning work?
Yeah, tell them when you're ready.
Okay, so WebBuilder, that's the product that we use for our website, was an opportunity to not just update the look of the website, but to actually rethink and redesign it. So I had three goals. I wanted to increase the searchability, the discoverability, and the accessibility. So with the discoverability, I wanted to make the collection and the library resources front and center so people could find them. For searchability, our previous website was big. It was 330 web pages. So I wanted to prune that, slim it down a little bit, make things easier to find. And for the accessibility, half of our website visitors visit us on mobile, and so we wanted something that looked good on this screen as well as on a larger screen. So I'm going to give you a very brief tour of this is the home page. And then I'll kind of hit on the different sections of the website. So, search is improved. You can now search the catalog or the website. This section is to highlight both collection, our services, and some of the programs at branches. Library News is the three most recent library blog posts, and this is one of the really cool things about the new website, is that it integrates with the catalog, and Jessica, who's going to speak in a moment, and our collection services team created these really attractive, eye-catching book lists, and they all connect to the catalog, so when you click on one of these covers, you can put the book on hold immediately. So we've got those for adult fiction, nonfiction, audiobook, and large print and picture books. And the nice thing, too, is that these are updated automatically. So now somebody has to create a list each month, and they don't. These are created once, and they're updated whenever collection services adds things to the catalog. I encourage people to get their library card. So hopefully this orange is eye-catching, and people click on that and pull out the library card application. This is to highlight different databases. encouraging people to sign up for our newsletter. So email is the most effective way for us to reach our community. So throughout the site, I have places where they can subscribe to our newsletter. This highlights the current reading challenge. And then this is the footer. So for the tabs up at the top, each one has a section on the left to kind of call something out. With this, again, it's encouraging people to get a library card. And I've got sections of the collection that, again, have those great book lists called showcases, separated by audience. So hopefully people are going to find that a little bit easier to find things that are pertinent to them. And then over here, different parts of the collection. One of the things that library staff do most often and best is reader's advisory. And what to read next does that online. Again, a place to encourage people to sign up for the newsletter. And then we have these featured lists. Collection services team is creating these, and these will be changed on a very regular basis. And what I'm hoping is somebody might not have come to the website looking for a book about the hidden life of trees, but they're going to be scrolling down this page, and they'll see it, click on it, put a hold on it, and check it out. Coming soon lists are always very popular. Read-alikes for popular authors, and then we've got a spot for staff picks. Events, that links to our new event software, event calendar, and route booking service. And then underneath Learn, we have over 90 databases and resources, which, especially if you're on the phone, can get tough to scroll through those. So we've separated those out by topic and by audience. But if you look at the whole list, you can still filter it. If you know the title of the resource that you're looking for, you can filter it by audience, and you can filter it by topic. So instead of scrolling through all 90 things, you can click on genealogy and local history and go right to that resource and start using it. Under services, one of our more popular services is people being able to book meeting and study rooms, so they can go right to a bigger program and do that. And then there's a list of our other services. Then under about, again, want them to subscribe, so library news, and then the usual things you find on the library site, like hours and locations. And lastly, over here on the left, is a link to the catalog, which is going to be just this part, unless anybody had a question. Okay, super.
It's very easy to manipulate and get through them.
We are exactly.
Hey, your featured lists are almost like a branch display, you know?
Yes,
I like it.
The showcases are fantastic. I'm really in love with that.
Looks good.
Showcases is what makes our new catalog so great, because it does integrate with our website. And like Laura mentioned, our collection services librarians have been very fundamental in building this for us. So I'm going to do a brief overview of what the new catalog looks like. So like Laura, we have some quick hits across the top. These are common hits that we will get when someone's looking at our catalog. So we try to put those links directly at the top of where they're going to go. So obviously going back to our website is one, getting a card, our digital library services, our current reading challenges, library events, like Laura mentioned, it integrates with program. We also have a general health FAQ that's more geared toward us, like so you have borrowing guideline questions, you have stuff like that. The great thing about this discover option is there is the question mark, which is another help thing. This is now maintained not by us staff having to constantly create documentation for how to use the catalog. The vendor creates that, and they maintain it every time that they update the catalog for us. So it makes it a little bit easier to keep that documentation up to date on the how-tos. We have the nice feature of when you click on the little building there, you can limit by which branch location. You can immediately see information, today's hours, contact information, The cookie, I get a lot of questions about the cookie. Cookies, people should be used to the cookie preferences now. Every time they're on a website, that's where they are now. So the little cookie, if you want to change your cookie preferences, your privacy settings. But I really just want to go over the home page here and how great it is in making our new catalog more accessible, discoverable, and just visible. So those of you familiar with using the current one, it's not as pretty. This one's pretty. So you will eventually, you'll see, right now we have it geared toward, in the beginning, based on age range. So these collections, like Laura mentioned, they'll be fed themselves. It's less work for branch staff to generate these. It works off integration with once the collection services staff order stuff. And it's catalog. They'll go into these top lists immediately based on age group. So beginning readers, juveniles, adults, and we have young adults. And you can always scroll over to see more. It just gives you like a highlight, but you can always see more of the list when you can click over. Then we have these nice cool showcases that you can do where you can just do a feature showcase. So we have a lot of great, like Laura mentioned, digital collections. So not just like, you know, those who are familiar, who aren't familiar with Hoopla Binge Passes, they're great. So we want to put more of a feature spotlight and make our guests more aware of what all library offerings like we have, if we have a new service like Canopy or the database LinkedIn Learn. So then we'll have more featured showcases that are more month-to-month, like Laura mentioned on the website, that are geared toward specific things that are popular during that month. Now we're back to school. And then these coming soon lists, I can't express my gratitude working with the collection services librarians and building these. They're great. As far as getting the visual out there to our guests of immediately what we have currently ordered, and then they can go ahead and put it on hold. More visual than if you're, again, you're familiar with the existing catalog, it's a bunch of lists. This one is definitely the more visual. We're hoping for more engagement there with hold placement. Geared again toward each level, whether it's adult, child, or young adult. Our audio visuals, anything new that we're going to be ordering. That's audiobooks, DVDs. We also have a featured author spread that will change monthly and let you know to do read-alikes as well as your favorite author. It is your favorite author. You can click on it to get more information about them. Again, more staff picks. We have a feature spotlight. This can be great for any time we introduce a new collection. It's immediately visible to you, like our kits. We have several different kits for different age range, so this, again, brings some more visual element to it, and it integrates with programs, so when they scroll here, they'll immediately see any program that's going on that day or forthcoming, and again, it's automatically generates itself. The other great feature about this Discover catalog is when you are searching, and I'll do one, here's my example. So you can type it in and it's going to give you suggestions, which is great. So if you're looking for your author, so we're going to do Frida here. It's going to give you, it's going to sort by relevancy, which is great. So it knows most of the time. Don't ask me how. The data is amazing how it works. It knows what's popular, not within our system, but even what they might be looking for based off they read something about a book club, you know, so like Oprah's or Reese's. But the great thing about this is the roll-up feature. Less scrolling. So if you're familiar with our existing catalog, there's a lot of scrolling to see which format you want. Now it has it within the title, all the format options that we'll have, and you can easily click it from there. Even it integrates with our digital. So Hoopla, OverDrive, you can immediately check it out in one place. So, and you still have the same great features of limiting as you did before, but it's just more of a visual, nice component there. That's what I'm trying to do really quick. Any questions about Discover or the catalog?
Looks great.
I have so many questions. I have so many questions, and I'm not going to take up the board's time by asking them. So I'm going to have to pop in and just.
You book a librarian.
Or book an IS.
Seriously.
Or book an IS. You can book the IS.
Yeah, I just I'm writing them down. I've got a few. It looks great. It's been worth the wait, I have to say. I mean, just seeing, just like the things that, yeah, I'm just writing them down.
Well, yeah, we're just encouraging people to go and play because that's the best way to do it. You're just going to love it because we are with you.
So I'm just here to wrap things up. Lynn already talked about the core library values of service and access, and I just wanted to mention integrity. Integrity means ensuring our guests have a seamless, trustworthy, and enriching experience with every library interaction. So by bringing our services together under the Vega platform, this includes the already launched Vega program, the new website, and the enhanced catalog, reuniting library information and resource discovery under one consistent, reliable gateway. This integration reflects our commitment to transparency, accuracy, and service excellence, making it easier than ever for guests to find what they need quickly and confidently.
Also, a quick shout out to Teresa Herring, who was very, very, very involved in the new website right up to her retirement, supporting Laura and making sure she had what she needed to get that up on screen.
Good team, thank you. Yeah.
It looks awesome, you guys. And like I said, I'm just writing down my questions.
I also want to add
that I can't wait to use it.
we looked at multiple vendors before selecting Vega, and the whole team was involved in that process. Collection Services was involved in that process, and they were all evaluating it from different angles. And when we made the selection, they were part of that process, and then bringing it all on board was an incredible amount of work, and they've done a fantastic job. So kudos to you guys. Congratulations.
I feel like we should have like an unveiling party, but also like it's been a big tease because I can't go home and now get on the website and play with it yet. So I don't want to see it. I'm so... I'm just all excited. Okay. Thank you very much.
You should see Jess's name that she uses is Tinkerbell.
Tinkerbell. I saw it. Trust me, I saw it.
I really wanted to demonstrate the bookshelf. That's a great feature, too. You know
what? I'm, yeah. There are things in that are reminiscent.
Email sent out to BOT when it goes live.
So yeah.
So we'll get there.
Yeah. But there's things in there that are kind of reminiscent of some of the features in other like Goodreads and stuff. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can do that. This is going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's really updating us quite a bit. We kind of skip
it. It's huge. It's huge compared to our little list of just, yeah, it's great.
It's a huge accomplishment in increasing our accessibility, everything that they said.
And let's just
get more library cards out there.
Library cards, more people are reading.
Usage.
Yeah.
Yep.
Books. Okay. I'm all excited. All right. Next item on our agenda, and I'm going to run through this as quickly as possible. You're going to get the very, very, very high level old business virtual meeting policy. The Policy and Bylaw Committee meeting met prior to this board meeting this evening. We got through everything on our agenda, and you'll see all the good recommendations that we had at the September meeting. Check. All right. New business. We have two resolutions, as usual. Resolution 2025-20, the acceptance of gifts to the library donations is listed. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Ms. Kasika makes a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Bogg seconds. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion passes. Thank you. Next item is Resolution 2025-21, my least favorite, the disposal of unneeded or obsolete library inventory. Still don't know what that meant. Anyway, do I have a motion?
So moved.
All right. Ms. Wade makes motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right. Mr. Humphrey seconds. All in favor? We have to do a roll call vote. Sorry. Got excited.
Ms. Doss?
Yes.
Mr. Ramos?
Yes.
Ms. Wade?
Yes.
Ms. Kosika?
Yes.
Mr. Humphrey?
Yes.
Ms. Bach?
Yes.
Ms. Schluter?
Yes.
Thank you. Unneeded or obsolete library inventory is an oxymoron in my mind. It's just very difficult to say that every month. Okay. Housekeeping items. Our next meeting is September 15th. Can't believe it's going to be fall around the corner here. So is there anything else? I think we've covered everything from a roof to a sign to handicap parking spots to websites and everything in between. Any? You're going to do a building committee meeting, but you guys are going to figure that out after the adjournment and get your schedule. And I'm not on that one, so you don't have to worry about me trying to coordinate with you guys.
You know you want to go.
I know, I kind of do.
I wanted to thank Andrea for her leadership while Chris was out on her two-week vacation. She's back rested and ready to go, and Andrea's probably ready for a vacation.
There you go. And do you know the great thing? At least from my perspective, it was seamless. I didn't notice any, like, it was great. So that's a really high compliment.
Thank you. It was, like I said, nothing caught on fire. So,
well, that's there you go.
Today the mulch, that's all caught on fire. So,
that'll happen. That'll happen.
Fixable. Very fixable.
Yeah. All right.
Dawn's
if we,
on it. Get a bucket.
Yeah, exactly. If we have nothing else. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Mr. Humphrey makes a motion. Do we have a second? Mr. Ramos seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned at 8:05. Thank you.